Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. I almost messed that up. That's how out of practice I am, but it's good to be back. Joining me, just one of the chumps tonight, the dynamic duo, John. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I feel like it's part like eight of the dynamic duo saga, but happy to be back. Looking forward to, I was telling Leighton, I got a little nerdy with fantasy football last night. I spent probably 3 hours looking at rankings and doing mock drafts and trying to catch myself up, get back in the groove of things. So I feel like I have a little bit better grasp of probably the top 80 players roughly. Like once you do drafts, you finally kind of get the rhythm of things, get the groove, know where to expect players to go off the board, what's a bit of a reach, what's a bit of a steal. And I feel like I'm getting closer to that point, but there's still a few questionable names up and down the board, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Were you doing those on ESPN, Sleeper, or what are you hitting up?
So the mock drafts I was doing on ESPN, and then I was kind of doing a little bit of a premature personal rankings of like top 100. So I got through 50 last night, and feel okay about it. We're gonna look at some more information, but it was good.
That's good. It's always interesting whenever I've done it in the past. I haven't done it yet this year, of like making your own rankings, because it's just kind of reacting to other rankings, I feel. Right?
It's kind of built off of it. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like you need a solid baseline for, you know, okay, Josh Jacobs relatively is going somewhere between 14 and 26. And then you fine tune it. Like you get that information and then you make it your own, because you fine tune it based off of positional value or personal preference, or, you know, however you feel when you wake up that morning, you know, whatever it is. Because there are times that I can convince myself it's like Josh Jacobs could be a beast this year.
He could be if he shows up.
That is a great segue.
It's a great segue, John. Into the news. Us professionals. Into the news. Josh Jacobs, like you mentioned, has not shown up for training camp. John, scale 1 to 10, 10 being I am never drafting him anywhere in fantasy, and 1 being I would draft him ahead of where he's going. I didn't really have a good. How worried are you that he's not there?
Like a 2, probably.
Oh,
I mean,
interesting.
I don't think it's really news. I think he's going to play this year, because I mean, the rest of his career depends on it, really. Like, he's not going to pull a Le'Veon and he's not going to sit out.
It doesn't bother you that he is missing, like, he might show up out of shape or something?
Maybe a little bit. Like, that's why it's a 2 instead of a 1, I guess. But
okay.
I'm not concerned about Jacobs. Like, it's just a running back thing. This happens every year. And
that's true.
I feel like there's nothing to talk about in the NFL, so everybody freaks out about it. They're like, ooh, Josh Jacobs isn't participating in mandatory camp activities. And then, you know, he takes his fine, and then we play the NFL season. So outside of Le'Veon. Le'Veon is the exception to that.
Yeah, that's why I think it struck everybody so hard, because people took him like 1 overall.
So Le'Veon, I've heard people talk about like the worst – fantasy draft picks in the history of fantasy football. It has to be Le'Veon, because he was taken.
And he didn't play a snap.
He didn't play a game.
Oof.
That was the end of his career too. Like
he went to the Chiefs, Jets, but like, or Jets, Chiefs.
Did he play? He played for the Bucks for a little while too.
Oh gosh.
And then I think there was one other team. I could be wrong on that, but
yeah.
Not very relevant, obviously. So
no. Speaking of not relevant, Joe Burrow.
Boom! Get bodied.
Just get dunked on. Okay, I shouldn't do that when I'm talking about an injury. He strained his calf last week. I seriously thought he got shot with the way he just dropped to the ground. I knew he was a weakling. No, I'm just kidding. Again, I'm kidding. He strained his calf. I seriously thought he tore his Achilles and I was going to feel really bad. But he just strained his calf. Should be out multiple weeks is what.
Yeah, he won't participate in preseason stuff is what that I've seen. No. Which I don't know if you remember this, he had an appendectomy last year.
Yeah.
Yep. So he missed all of preseason last year too. So nothing really new for Shiesty.
He didn't do his rookie year though either. I don't think. No. He tore his ACL. That was it.
Yeah.
A little rough.
A little more serious there, but
yeah. So obviously you don't know if he's going to play week one.
I'll ask this question to you. How do you feel about Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins? Like, let's consider Ja'Marr going at 105 and T. Higgins going at 305. I think that's right. Mid third round. If Burrow is not healthy week one, and we know it, how do you feel? How are their rankings impacted until Burrow returns? Obviously in a negative direction, but how far?
Ja'Marr Chase would maybe be like one spot, right? If you're debating him or Cooper.
So Ja'Marr's still top five.
Yeah.
Without Burrow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we don't know how long. I'm guessing Burrow would miss like the first few weeks or something.
Right. Yeah. Say he's out 3 weeks.
No, I think they'll still get Ja'Marr Chase the ball. T. Higgins, I'd be a little concerned about.
Does the Joe Mixon stock go up?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe just like one or two spots, though. I don't know. I don't think the 3 weeks is going to offset anything. And he wasn't amazing last year, but I don't know. It's interesting because since we don't know the severity of it, like it'd be, I'm glad this didn't happen, but it'd be much easier if like, oh yeah, Joe Burrow's out for the whole year. Now what do we do? But in terms of rankings and everything, but just the fact, or if they were like, oh, he's going to miss the first 4 weeks because we have our eyes set on the Super Bowl or something, you know, super illogical, then it would be, I'm just coming out swinging tonight. Then it'd be a little bit more easy, but just the fact that Zach Taylor just said a few, you know, multiple weeks, it's like, okay, well, you know, I lost multiple weeks in fantasy last year. That doesn't tell you how many.
Yeah.
It's more than two.
Yeah, define multiple.
So I don't know. Another bad news, Tim Patrick. I feel bad for this guy. I poured one out. He tore his Achilles.
Oh, his career's over.
I feel so bad.
I didn't know that happened. I hadn't heard about
that. No, because he tore. Oh, you didn't. There we go.
No, I didn't.
He tore
know.
His ACL last year in like week three or something. He just got.
And there was a Tim Patrick hype train going on too last year. I don't know if it was this year yet or not. But
so some people were saying he should be the second wide receiver on the depth chart behind Jerry Jeudy, and he tore his Achilles. He has 1 year left on his contract after this year. They can really easily get out of it. I think they're going to get out of it, which I feel bad about.
Happy trails.
I'm glad he signed the contract before him. I just put it this way. So.
Yeah. Yep. Good for him. Got his mini bag.
But I feel so bad.
Maybe he'll end up being like a special assistant or something. Like, he was kind of a veteran guy after.
He's
29. That's pretty old for the NFL.
For wide receiver, yeah.
Hey, there's a lot of receivers that don't make it past that first contract. And if they do, like they get one like prove it deal and then
McCall Hardman. And
honestly, He's gonna play a year on the Jets and nobody's ever gonna hear from him again.
Yeah, probably. I know somebody maybe will find him because he's fast, but you won't. Yeah.
Ooh, he's fast.
Speaking of the Jets, Dalvin Cook visited, did not sign. I thought he would sign. What do you think?
I saw a report that was, I think, I don't know if it was Rodgers or somebody involved in the Jets organization was, quote, concerned because there wasn't a sense of urgency, it sounded like, from Dalvin Cook's camp to get a contract signed. So, I'm actually starting to worry about Dalvin Cook because if he doesn't get a deal in place, he's already older. This typically, I mean, when running backs change teams, and I've heard the fantasy footballers talk about this before, but when running backs change teams, typically they're not fantasy relevant that first season, or honestly ever again. So this is relevant for sure. But the longer that Dalvin goes without being, you know, without working out, without being a part of training camp, you know, it's just not good for him. That's the only person that it hurts. So
rumor is that he really wants to go to Miami and he wants Miami to make him an offer before he does anything.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to play in New York.
I mean, I kind of would. Compared to Miami, I feel like I would. But maybe. He's going 64 overall in Sleeper, and on ESPN, he's 69. Nice overall. What is your – I'm not drafting him anywhere.
I'm not. Personally. I would take him in, like, the ninth round maybe, but before then,
he has to go somewhere where he's clearly going to be the RB1, which I don't even know if
that's – that's not going to happen, though. I think even if he does go to Miami, I think he's the RB1A. But
Miami's best case scenario for fantasy
of all, of all available options, that's the best option that he has. But
besides the Chiefs, but he's not coming to the Chiefs.
That'd be pretty sweet. I don't know if fantasy wise that would be that great for him.
No, I'm saying in terms of draft stock, he would shoot up the rankings if he signed with the Chiefs.
Oh. I don't know if I share the same opinion.
Really? Because I
would be overdrafted still, but I don't know that he would shoot up. Like, I don't think he's going to get much higher than what he's at right now.
Really? Because I think if he signs with the Chiefs, he will. Okay. If he signs with the Dolphins, let's put it this way. If he signs with the Dolphins, I think he'll move up. Because right now he's running back 26. You're telling me if he signs with Miami, he's not going to go ahead of James Conner, Miles Sanders?
I wouldn't draft him ahead of those guys.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
at least Conner. Miles Sanders is up for debate. That one, those are two turds that you're comparing right there.
You don't like Miles Sanders this year?
Miles Sanders in Carolina or Dalvin Cook in Miami?
So you don't like Miles Sanders this year?
I'm not excited about him. Like, I'll take a flyer on him, but
I think he would be good.
I would take him before the ninth round. So yeah, I would say Miles Sanders still, actually.
Yeah, I would definitely say Miles Sanders. I'm low key kind of high on Miles Sanders, but I don't like that. So
It doesn't feel good. That doesn't bode confidence.
But you know,
Mom, I'm so excited for fantasy this year. I drafted Miles Sanders.
Woo! And Dalvin Cook.
Dude, my team's going to be so good. Dalvin's my RB1. Sanders is RB2. Yes!
So, speaking of running backs, again, JT and Jim Irsay have beef, apparently. It's a lot of posturing. And if you're listening, you know what's happened. John, are you worried?
Yeah. Honestly. Straight up. Well, I'm scared. I don't know. I think the tweet got sent in one of our group chats, but the Colts have the ability to totally screw Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. Colts fan Ethan sent that in our group text.
Yeah. Yeah. So you probably understand the loophole in the contract a little better than I do. So you can dive into it briefly if you want.
Okay. I'll explain it real quick. Basically, what's called NFI, like non-football injury. And if you're basically Nyheim Hines. He was on a jet ski and he tore his leg or something, like his ACL or something. So
tore his leg. It's gone. No more leg.
So by rule, a team can place an NFI on a player who gets hurt away from facilities and not pay him and just move that cap to next year. So his contract just basically kicks down the road. And we're talking about GM RSA. So
it could happen.
It's going to happen. So that's basically all there is to that. And I guess we'll just move on from the news.
R.I.P.
On that great note. Let's go back to this real quick. So Jonathan Taylor is going 11 overall in ESPN, and on Sleeper, he's going 13 overall. Are you even considering drafting him?
No.
I'm not either. At what point do you draft him, though?
It's – I don't know. I don't –
As things stand right now, I think I would rather have – okay, would you rather – okay, you'd obviously take Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb. Would you take Tony Pollard or Jonathan
Pollard?
Taylor?
Pollard.
100%. Breece Hall.
Breece.
Travis Etienne.
Etienne.
Joe Mixon.
Mixon.
Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh.
Oh.
It's another turd fight.
Oh, come on. Relax. Najee Harris.
Oh, don't stop it. Stop. Come on now. Don't play with my son like that.
Okay, so we're right around RB 14, 15.
I think I would draft JT ahead of Ramondre.
You're smoking something. Okay.
Dude, no. The Patriots are going to sign somebody else.
That's true.
And Pierre Strong actually has kind of made some noise. So
I'm sure he has.
He is. Some strong noise.
Oh my gosh. Okay. John, take it away into our next.
Some strong topic. Noise. Okay. So for the episode today, over under.
I don't know what you're calling it. Go ahead.
We can call it over under. For the over under episode today, we are going to dive into the top 100 on the ESPN draft board. And Leighton and I, we have not revealed the names to one another, but we are going to say a name, and the other person, has to go over and under. So we're picking guys out that their ADP we think is either really high or really low, or just needs some adjustment. And so we're going to blind react to these guys on the draft board. I'm going to get started.
Please go first after that lovely explanation of what we're
Thank
doing.
You. Well, it's very complex. I want to make sure that people know what we're doing.
Goodness. Okay.
So to kick things off, the New York Football Giants running back Saquon Barkley. ESPN currently has him as RB6. Overall, he is at the 11th RB4. Position. Is this old? Is this outdated?
I'm looking at the PPR top 300.
I'm also looking at the PPR top 300.
Whoa.
What? In your defense, this is a PDF. But I downloaded it like...
Mine's a PDF.
4 days ago.
I just downloaded it. Yes.
Okay.
Saquon, RB4 running back, or 9 overall.
That's fine. Man, that sucks. Okay. We'll say, so what is he? RB4? He's ninth overall?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. This still works. Over? Do you think that he is being overdrafted or underdrafted?
I don't know, because with the last rankings, I bet you were going to say underdrafted, but now I don't know anymore.
Got to roll with the punches. What's the official answer?
Underdrafted.
You think at RB4 he's being underdrafted?
That's what I think you think.
Well, you are incorrect.
Oh.
I think he's being severely overdrafted.
Oh, even with the last out of date.
So I think he's going too. I think he's going too early. I thought he was going too early at number 11. I would happily take Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think he's going about half a round too early at number 11, especially at number 9.
You know somebody's drafting him at least at 9 in most home leagues.
Man, I just don't see it.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I think if you go to most home leagues, you play with, you know, casual football fans, your friends, family, etc., there's no way Saquon Barkley falls below 11. There's no chance.
Do you think the hype of a contract this offseason actually helped value?
Yes.
One more piece of news that people see about Saquon Barkley, like a casual fan.
Yeah, with a casual fan. Yeah.
He was RB5 last year. He's a year older.
Yes. I'm not super excited about the Giants.
Is anybody?
No, I don't know why you would be. The only thing that he has going for him is volume. And yeah, granted, volume is a huge component.
Volume.
But I think mid to late second round is
fair.
An appropriate draft position for Saquon Barkley.
No,
I don't think he's a first rounder anymore.
I mean, I honestly think the general trend of running backs is most of them are too high on ESPN rankings now. I feel like the positions have almost switched, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%. If you go back 2 years, completely flip-flopped.
Well, not only that, I feel like, because back in the day, if you didn't get a first-round running back, you were SOL, right?
Game over.
Because you had the top, you know, 7 guys, whoever, you know, we could all list them. And if you didn't get one of them, you were basically out of luck. Now, I feel like it's, and then you have a bunch of guys after those top 7. I almost feel like it's the opposite, where with wide receivers, you have a clear top, you know, 6 that are just, I feel like, a tier above, maybe 7, depending on how you feel. And I feel like there's another second tier of guys who are all right, and then you just have a bunch of guys after. So I feel like a lot of people are leaning wide receivers. So
yeah, I agree.
I agree with what you're saying.
Wonderful.
Well, mine are not nearly that high. So I will go with my first one being Damian Pierce, running back 17, number 35 overall.
That is an interesting one.
Not a lot of news about him, I feel like.
Not a lot of news. And, man, he was like the darling of fantasy football.
Absolutely.
To begin the year last year, and then he got injured. I think he didn't play the second half of the season. I'm pretty sure.
Keep going. I'll look it up.
The internet knows these things. I'm gonna say it. You said 35 is where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He missed the last 4 weeks of the season. That's right.
I think you believe he's being underdrafted.
Ooh, a swing and a miss. I think he's being overdrafted so much, honestly. I know he was great last year. But he was great because he went undrafted, right? Nobody drafted this guy. Well, no, he got drafted in like the 13th round, right?
If that.
Sure. So he was great because of that in people's minds. And he, you know, he did have a great season. Don't get it wrong. But he... Now he's going into an offense with a rookie quarterback, which those offenses don't do well. He doesn't really catch passes, right? And then the first free agent signing the Texans bring in is Devin Singletary, running back for the Bills. No matter what you think about Devin Singletary, this is the number one thing I have told myself to go into fantasy with every single year now, is my opinion does not matter in terms of the GMs and the coaches will play and pay who they value. So obviously Devin Singletary did not get a huge contract, but the fact they signed him so quick and the fact that he was hurt that much just towards the end of the season, I think they're going to split carries. And I think if anything, I don't think he's going to get hardly any catches. He had 39 targets last year. Caught 30 of them, which is fine. But 39 targets is nothing. John, don't you agree?
I wouldn't say it's nothing. It's definitely on the lower side.
It's pretty low. But like when you bring in a guy like Devin Singletary, I feel like that's all he's
what at. Does Devin Singletary get you excited?
No, but the Texans clearly wanted him.
Yeah. But they're the Texans. They don't know what they want. they've proven this in the last 5 years.
I understand. They also ran multiple formations with two quarterbacks on the field last year.
So they had Rex Burkhead last year.
Yeah.
Did they still have David Johnson last year?
I do not remember.
Seems like they had another guy. I don't know if like.
Yeah, they had somebody else.
Yeah. That.
But.
Damian was still competing with. Like, it was still a. My point is, it doesn't really matter who it was, but it was still a competition for Damian last year, and he seemed to rise to the top whenever that he needed to.
But do you think he's going to be better than running back 28 PPR? Because
100%.
He's been drafted as the RB17, which I think is crazy. Like, he's going ahead of Miles Sanders.
There's that guy.
James Conner.
Ooh, Miles.
Cam Akers, Alexander Mattison. Maybe I'm just not on the same wavelength. I just think he should be below those guys, so that's where I stand.
I think Pierce has fringe RB1 upside.
Oof, I do not agree.
You don't think his best case scenario he ends up as running back like 8 this year?
No.
Really? Yeah, see, I think he's got that in the bag. I think he could do it.
I'll give you like running back 10.
Yeah, I mean, we're not far off then.
Yeah, I just low RB1. I just think he has a pretty low ceiling. So, anyway, we've spent enough time on Damian Pierce. John, go to your next one.
All right, the next guy on my list, he is in the third round.
Oh boy,
he is a quarterback.
Oh man.
And he is also on the cover of Madden.
Oh,
that is the one and only Josh Allen.
Okay. And are currently, you looking at these new rankings?
No, I, you know what? I'm just rolling with it. I'm rolling with the outdated stuff. So I'm going to rely on you. Where is Josh Allen going?
he's a 25 overall quarterback.
Oh, perfect. Then it hasn't been updated. All right. So he's number 25 on my board as well.
Yes.
Do you think he is being overdrafted or underdrafted?
I think you think he's being underdrafted.
You think I think he's being underdrafted?
Yeah.
You are also wrong. I think he is being severely overdrafted. Now,
really?
Yeah, I do. He turns the ball over a lot. In the last two seasons, I believe. I think I heard the stat correctly today. In the last two seasons, there are two quarterbacks who have 50 or more turnovers. One of them is Josh Allen. The other one is Matt Ryan. He does not like to hold on to the ball. He's preferably on the sideline where he spends most of his time, or at home because he can't make it to the Super Bowl. It's tough out there. No, I just think going one spot behind Mahomes is a severe reach, especially going ahead of Jalen Hurts. That's a guy that I'd much rather have on my fantasy roster than Josh Allen. And then you have to go a ways until you hit the next quarterback, which is Joe Burrow, which I also tend to disagree with. The craziest, and I'll just, this is against the rules, but I'll just give us a little prop here. How on earth is Justin Fields going at 62?
You think that's low or high?
I think that is incredibly low.
Really? Okay.
Well, so that's misleading. I think he should be drafted earlier than 62.
Yeah, I think he should be ahead of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I agree. I think, honestly, he should go like behind Lamar, who I think Lamar should probably be fourth. So I think
Okay.
I think Fields is like, yeah.
I'm surprised you're so low on Josh Allen. Because even with all those turnovers, just balls out, which is weird.
He does ball out, but I don't know. Buffalo doesn't feel good this year. Just a personal opinion. I think he should probably be slotted in and at least in the fourth round.
Okay. I mean, he's number two overall last year, even with all those turnovers.
Yeah, I know. It's a gut thing.
That's fair.
Yeah. Which gut feelings are so hard to shake. I don't know if they're a good or bad thing in fantasy football.
Dude, I have no idea.
But man, it's hard to go against them, at least in my opinion. So yeah, Josh Allen, I'd slot him in. Like, I would rather have Jahmyr Gibbs than Josh Allen. I'd rather have Chris Olave than Josh Allen.
Okay, yeah.
I would rather have Najee. I'd rather have...
What?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Dude is going to ball.
So my guy is Marquise Hollywood Brown. Number 57 overall, the 29th rated wide receiver.
So let me ask you this question before I answer.
Okay.
Are you assuming Kyler is going to miss an extended amount of time?
Because
currently, do you think he's going to miss more than 4 weeks?
I think he'll miss 6 weeks.
Ooh, okay. Is there backup?
Five.
Is there backup still Colt McCoy?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say that you think Marquise is being underdrafted.
You are correct. Nice. I do think he's being underdrafted. And this isn't like a big one. I just personally don't understand why Deontay Johnson is the 23rd wide receiver and Marquise Brown is 29.
He's a reception guy. Like, he's a PPR nightmare.
Yeah, but who else? Who's the wide receiver two on Arizona? We don't have to leave silence because I don't know either.
It's Greg Dortch.
Is it actually? Is that what it says?
Probably. Oh. I don't know.
Probably. Anyway.
He's the most notable guy, unless they drafted somebody.
That's fair. The reason I think he's being undervalued is, obviously, Marquise Brown got hurt last year. But for those first 6 weeks that he was playing and DeAndre Hopkins was out, he kind of balled out. I know he had Kyler. But when you go 14, 13, 28, 21, 22, and then he got hurt in the next game, which he had 12 points still. I mean, the amount of targets he got was insane. John, he had 9 plus targets in those first 6 weeks. The first one being against the Chiefs, which he only had 6, but he still got a touchdown. The only reason I'm high on him, okay, there's two reasons, actually. Two main reasons. One, contract year. Undefeated, right?
Ooh. Yeah, it...
Two.
He's undefeated.
Two, he's on the Cardinals, who will be bad, most likely, and have to be throwing a lot to catch up. A lot of garbage time, I think.
Yeah.
And then, which I don't think will lead to a lot of touchdowns, but he still performed very well without scoring touchdowns. His highest game last year, he had 14 catches for 140 yards, no touchdowns. And the third reason, like we already mentioned, we have no idea. So right now on Sleeper, it says the number two wide receiver, the wide receiver room after Marquise Brown is Rondale Moore, Zach Pascal, and then the next guy, Andre. This looks like Bocelli, but it's Andre Bacchiali or something. I don't know who that is. I seriously don't. I'm not trying to like make fun of this guy. He's clearly more talented than me. But, I don't get it. They might. And there's been rumors that Clayton Tune might come and play if Colt McCoy doesn't do well. So, or he gets hurt. Or maybe he just beats him out, honestly. And he's a 5th-round draft pick or something like that this year. But
I just don't. Fifth round.
He's just going to get so much volume. Like we talked about, volume's king. And if you can get that guy as your third wide receiver, like your flex, where if you can just rely on volume and then he has his boom games every now and then with like two catches, like it's crazy. If you can start the draft somehow and just get like, you know, a running back to start, you get, I don't know, AJ Brown, and then you can somehow get like a Debo and then a Marquise Hollywood Brown. Okay, Debo is maybe not a good example. Like Chris Olave and then Hollywood Brown. Like everybody's scared of that. So maybe I'm just higher. You let me know what you think.
Worst case scenario, are you comfortable with Marquise Brown as your wide receiver too? Like let's just say that you start running back, and then you pick up a wide receiver somewhere, and then you also get a quarterback and a tight end. Like, are you comfortable with Marquise Brown, wide receiver too?
I mean, I think in that scenario, if I have all those other positions filled out, yeah, probably.
I think I am too. I don't have any problem with it. There's actually a decent, that's a solid little group in the sixth round.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But I also think that they're 50-50 guys. And what I mean mm-hmm. by that is, after you get past, like, honestly, it's the third round. You have no idea what you're getting.
Oh,
like,
no.
You're drafting upside, and that's pretty much the extent of
it. Yeah, for me, Chris Olave is the last guy I'm confident in, I guess. No, I like Amari Cooper this year. So after the Amari Cooper, I feel like there's kind of a cliff there. It's a lot of guesses, like you said, upside, basically.
Chris Godwin, so. Christian Watson. Miles yeah, Sanders.
Like, okay, let's not dunk on Miles Sanders anymore. I think it could be good.
he went to Carolina. He's out to pasture.
Go ahead, right. John. Who's your third?
My third and final player is currently being taken in the eighth round, or Ooh. Currently was uncurrently. He's uncurrently. He sure. was formerly being taken in the eighth round like 4 days ago. He is a tight end.
No. Don't you do it.
It is the man himself, Dallas Goedert.
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going.
according to the, yeah, I thought about it. Currently, formerly, he was at 73rd overall, tight end seven
right. yeah.
off the board. Do you think he is being overdrafted, or do you think, what do you think I think? You tell me what I think. Overdrafted or underdrafted?
You know, I don't really know because I think the tight end ranking this year made no sense. So I'm going to say you think he's being underdrafted.
You saved your performance there. 1-for-3 on and the day. I do think he's being underdrafted.
Just in terms of tight ends or where in the draft?
Or yes. Both? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The answer to that question, those questions is yes. And I don't know. I like good offenses, and I know that's a silly thing to say, but to get a piece of the Philadelphia offense that late in the draft, mm-hmm. especially with a guy who you kind of alluded to it already, the tight end position is very weird this year, and I feel like it always is. Darren Waller is over the hill. Yet somehow he's going two rounds earlier and he's the tight end 4 off the board. George Kittle is also still ahead of Dallas Goedert. Kyle Pitts is just a question mark in himself.
I like Kyle Pitts this year.
I mean, I like Kyle Pitts, but I don't know where to draft Kyle Pitts. It's just a...
It's the same way I feel about Darren Waller. I actually like him this year, but not at 58.
The only reason that a person would like Darren Waller is because he plays for the Giants and there's just nobody else there to catch a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. So yeah, I just, the tight end position is hard to predict, but like if we fast forward to the end of the season and Dallas Goedert was tight end 1, would I be surprised? Yeah. Yes. But do I think it's possible? Yeah. No. I think it's possible.
It's not possible.
I think he's on that level of talent that he could be tight end 1.
Unless Travis Kelce gets hurt, there's no chance he's tight end 1.
Hey, Kelce's, is he 33 or 34 this season?
He's going to be 34 this year.
I'm just saying.
Hey.
Mark Andrews was under impressive. Like, there's really nobody ahead of him besides TJ Hockenson, and TJ Hockenson had two good games last season that elevated him to tight end two.
Those two were really good.
They were really good, but there were only two of them.
Interesting. I don't think he could be. I get what you're saying. He can easily be tight end two. I don't think he can surpass Kelce outside of injury.
Fair enough. All right. Wrap it up. Send us home.
I feel like this is a layup. I should have made it harder. My last guy, wide receiver 40, 86 overall, George Pickens.
Come on now. We all know Pick is going to be better than that. He is being severely underdrafted.
Oh, it's insane.
Wide receiver 40.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, this is too easy. Yeah. So
I've been known to miss a layup or two, but that one, poof.
Yeah, we're not talking about real basketball. Fact that Michael Thomas, Cortland Sutton, and wait, where did he go? Yeah, just the fact that those two guys alone are going ahead of him is criminal. I don't understand. George Pickens, because at that point in your draft, he's going 86 overall. You're trying to go for ceiling plays. You're telling me Cortland Sutton is going to break into the top 20? No.
This is Cortland Sutton's breakout year. I heard sixth year in the NFL. Finally, really when you find the groove, yeah.
So George Pickens was 33rd wide receiver PPR, and the dude had an up and down season, but so did the Steelers. Like, we obviously think they're going to be better. I think he's clearly the wide receiver two at worst. There's no way Allen Robinson's ahead of him. And he only had 84 targets last year. And the coaching staff has said they want to get him more involved. I think he's going to see a huge uptick in targets this year. The games he had over seven targets, he played very well. 16, 14, 18, 18 points.
You also have to remember he's playing with a rookie quarterback last year in Kenny Pickett.
Exactly. And he only had 4 touchdowns last year. For a guy his size, I think that'll increase as well. I'm honestly higher on the Steelers than I like to be. And I'm not saying you should take George Pickens ahead of Calvin Ridley or something, but
not far after, though.
Not far after. I'm really high on him. And if you can get him as your fourth wide receiver on your team, I think you'll be very happy with that, with the upside play.
For sure.
Well, that was an easy one to end on because we've
that was an easy
really,
one.
Really agree with that.
Yeah, no, I think we covered it pretty well. You know, I mean, you kind of had a good mix of positions. Got a quarterback in, got a tight end in, and then
we didn't plan that.
All of them. First take.
I love it. We don't have to rerun this.
Perfect.
Well, we appreciate you guys joining us next week. Hopefully we should be doing mock draft. If Nate will not play golf with his boss, we will be doing the mock draft. But
he'll probably have to fly to Florida last minute or something.
Oh, just yeah. Terrible. Sorry, guys. I got to go to Orlando.
Sorry. I had to go to Rome. It's just terrible. I can't do it. Can't record the podcast. So,
yeah. It's tough. But anyway, good luck. Get some mock drafts out there and be sure to follow us on, I want to say, Twitter, on X.
On X.
Fantasy_chumps and on Instagram, more so on X. So thank you guys. Keep on listening and good luck.
Thanks, guys.